Okay, we are on Nun Tes Amud Aleph. Yesterday we learned the Gemara about Aniyam Habak Bacharara. Just to continue a little bit to put it in perspective, so I just want to explain, an employee can leave his job to go to a different job. That's not called Aniyam Habak Bacharara. Because he's working for somebody, he's not Meshubah to stay there. The question of Aniyam Habak Bacharara is, can you hire an employee away from somebody else? He has the employee, enticing to take away the employee from him is a question, I'm not paskening, is a question of Aniyam Habak Bacharara. The employee themselves can put up a notice saying, I am looking for a job, and then you're allowed to talk to him because he wants to move, not that you're enticing him to move. So I just want to put that out there. Number two, the Taisa speaks out, that if somebody is an expert in something, so then there's no Aniyam Habak Bacharara, because this is Taisa's Shita, that by a thing that you can't get elsewhere, there's no Aniyam Habak Bacharara. This Machlokes Rashi and Taisa. Rashi holds that Aniyam Habak Bacharara applies to Hefker thing. You see somebody going to take a Metziah. You didn't notice it. You see the guy on the way to pick it up, and you run quickly and pick it up before him. Rashi holds that's a Rasha. Taisa says, there's not that many items to be found on the street. That's not a Rasha. It's only if another one is available in the same category. Then it's a Rasha. So Taisa says, let's say there is no other one available in the same category. So then there's no Isra Aniyam Habak Bacharara. So this becomes a very Shiku Hadas. We pass from like Taisa, I believe. And therefore it becomes a very big Shiku Hadas. What is it Aniyam Habak Bacharara? What is it not Aniyam Habak Bacharara? And this is Halacha. So I think it's a Machlokes whether we pass from like Rashi or Taisa. It's not Halacha L'maaseh Shir. I just thought it would be Ma'ariv people to the fact that this thing exists. Now, this has nothing to do with opening a store for competition, even though you could claim it's Aniyam Habak Bacharara because the guy has his customers and you're stealing his customers away. That's not the same. Opening a store is not directly challenging anything. That is, depends if he lives in the city, if he comes from out of town. A person that lives in the city is allowed to open a competition as long as he doesn't put the first guy out of business. And a person that comes from out of town, theoretically, is not, and I'm not here to pass from the local mice on that either. Just bringing it up. Dr. Gemara Weitzer. We are Nun Tes Amud Aleph. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7 lines, 6 lines from the bottom of the narrow lines. The Chaim Oim Elisha is Kachili. The case of the... Yes, do you have a question? No. Okay, the case of the Mishnah was, a person was Mekadosh a lady that you kick in at the end of 30 days. And somebody came and married her day 15, she's Mekudeshes to the second one, because the first one's Kedushin did not kick in. He said he wants the Kedushin to work after 30 days. That means now nothing has happened. I mean, nothing has happened that made her an Eishes Ish. The act of Kedushin happened, but I'll use the fancy yeshiva word, the Chaloitz Kedushin didn't happen. The Kedushin didn't work. It's standing there waiting to work after 30 days, but nothing has taken effect yet. Therefore, she's a single girl, a single woman, and she can marry anybody she wants.
What's the Kiddush?
Well, that's what we're learning now. We'll see all kinds of Kiddushim in this. But that's the halacha. Zok to Gemara Weiter. Loi bo'acha b'kitchim b'tach shalashim b'ed. What if somebody didn't show up? And Shimon went, was Mekadosh this lady for after 30 days, and nobody intervened. Now it's the end of 30 days. Mahu. Is she Mekadoshes or not? Now, obviously, you would say she's Mekadeshes. Why not? What if she used up the money? The money is gone. The money he handed her for Kedushin was already spent. She ate the mendels. She used up the money. Now, 30 days later, can the Kedushin kick in when there is no money here for Kedushin? He gave her money for Kedushin 30 days ago. She used up the money. Now, can the Kedushin kick in or not? Dr. Gemara, Rav Shmuel, Ami Tavayu, Kedushas, Abba Pishin Esach Luhamas. She's Mekudeshes, even though the money was consumed. I time up. Why? So the Gemara says, Hani Zuzi Loin Lemilva Dami Veloin Lepikudin Dami. The money he gave her was not a loan, nor was it keep my money. He didn't say keep my money for 30 days and watch it. He didn't say that. If he gave her something to watch and she used it up, she stole. It was his thing. He didn't use her money. She used his money. That's not a kedusha. Here he gave it to her. She had all permission to spend it. A milva is given to a loan, and by the time he wakes up and says he wants to do kedusha with the loan, he is not giving her anything. The loan is already done. Hani b'tayrus kedusha hivnanala. Here he said, I want this to work as kedushin. So when he gave her the money for kedushin, the money was here. He gave her something for kedushin. That created a obligation for that kinyan to work 30 days later. It's not that he has to do the maisa kedushin at the time that the kedushin works. He can do the maisa kedushin to kick in later, and it works because the money was given for kedushin. So it was not given as a loan. It wasn't that she spent the money on a loan and now he wants to be Mekadosh with something. He's not giving her anything anymore. He gave her for Kedushin. And he gave her money that she could use. But because he gave her for Kedushin, it doesn't, the Kiddush of the Mishnah is, or the Kiddush of Rav Shmuel is, that the Kedushin can kick in without the money being around. Because he did the act of Kedushin. He separated the act from the Chalais, from when it's Chal. He did the act now to work 30 days later. It created a, I'll use the word shibud, a shibud for kedushin, not a shibud for a debt, a shibud for kedushin. And therefore, since it created that shibud for kedushin, we view the act of kedushin as kicking in 30 days later, even though the money is no longer here. That is what Rav and Shmuel both said. Said, let's do Rashi. Look, Rashi.
Rabbi.
Yes, can I do Rashi first, and then I'll come back to you. Rashi is further up. Even though the money was consumed during 30 days, the chiboy kedushin lemechal lisnai lemos. When the kedushin is supposed to be chal, right? I don't know what the word English chal. Effect, take effect. Filahaki chayli, it's still chal. The name Amakadish with Mubain and Mukadeshis. We don't view it as a loan. The Lavla Pekadin Dummy, the name of Lini Shtaiba Shavar Brutain and Mukadeshis. But if you give a woman a Pekadin and she uses it up, you can't be married over that because I'm a Mish Makadish. Scotchily Pekadin Bokham with us, Shinigna Shinevan. Right? He told her to be Mukadeshis with the Pekadin and she found it gone. The Shtaiba Shavar Brutain Mukadeshis, we had that earlier in the second parent. Right, so Nitna, Mikama the Nitzchali Kadushin. The Milva was going to be spent before the Kedushin begins, before the act of Kedushin begins. The Chiyama law his scotchy liba, la videhi. By the time he wakes up and wants to make a Kedushin, it's not his money. But la midiyav law, he didn't give her anything at that time. Here he did not say, spend it at your will. Elam anashit is Scottish behem. Spend it, understanding that this is the money of marriage. It's her money. And when the time comes, she becomes Mekadesh. Yes, Harvey.
Two questions. Number one, I don't understand the Havamina. Well, I don't understand why, if it's just a deposit, this would be of benefit to her that would create a Kedushin. What if she, let's say she couldn't use it or she wasn't supposed to use it. Let's say it wasn't a loan that she could employ. It was just a deposit. How is that a benefit to her that that could affect the Kedushin? What benefit is that? It seems to me it's an obligation of her to guard it, but what benefit does she get from it?
Again, the money is going to be hers ultimately, correct? He's giving it to her for Kedushin. Without Rav and Shmuel, you would say, he handed the woman money and say, in 30 days, this money will become yours, and you will be married to me because I'm giving you money. But instead of waiting 30 days to give it to you, I'll give it to you today, and in 30 days from now, you become the owner of the money that I am giving you as a kedushin. Come along, okay, Rav and Shmuel, and say, that is not necessary. The fact that he gave it to her as kedushin allows her to use it now, and the kedushin can still take effect. Because it wasn't given as a loan, was given with a specific purpose for creating Kedushin. The act can be done without the Kedushin kicking in immediately.
Okay, so my second, yeah, but I guess it's related to my second question. My second question is, in a place where a man cannot have two wives, could he back out during the 30 days? Could he go and do kiddush with somebody else, or just simply marry somebody else in those 30 days?
He can back out anyway, even in a place he can have 10 wives. The reason he's giving himself that 30-day window is to allow himself to back out. Mm-hmm. Now, the next Gemara is going to talk about whether she can back out. But he for sure can back out, because that's the understanding of why he's delaying it for 30 days. He wants to marry in 30 days. We're saying he's giving himself a 30-day opportunity to back out. And if he backs out, Chayrus, you would have to repay him the Kedushin. She would have to give him
that. That was my question. So that money would be like an option. It's his option. He's buying an option on her.
Correct.
And he could exercise that option after 30 days, but she has to give it back. So if he has that I'm coming back to my original question. If he has that option of backing out and she has to give that money back, if he does, what benefit is that money to her if she's not permitted to use it? Why does that affect Kedushin?
She can use it. If he backs out, she'll owe him money.
There's
a legal right to use it.
And then she has the legal rest. So it's like a no-interest loan or something like that.
Yeah, but it's not a loan at this point, because if we're a loan, you can't
even manage her. I know. I got it. Okay, thank you.
Yes, doctor.
It seems that one of the ways of understanding Robin Shmuel, who knew the Mishnah much better than I do, but one of the ways of understanding Robin Shmuel is in contradiction to the Mishnah. If there is no chalas, but there is a shibud, isn't someone who backs out of a deal in which there's already been an exchange of money called a rasha?
No. Not if you make a condition.
Because he's not making a condition, he's saying...
It's a built-in condition.
No, he's saying, here's the money, we'll be married in 30 days.
Which means it gives me 30 days to decide.
It's implicit that both of us, within that statement, even though it appears nowhere within that statement, that it is implicit that that both sides have the opportunity to back out.
No, one side has an opportunity to back out, the second side we'll talk about coming up.
So if she is bound to it, I assume that...
Again, why don't we do the Gemara that's going to talk about this before we start theorizing about something that we can learn a Gemara about?
What does Ain and not Ain mean?
Here or not here.
And is the woman explaining what's the difference?
Oh, you tell me. But a guy gave a woman a loan, could he be Mekadosh with the loan? No, because the money's not here. Kedushin is trying to work when the money's not here. Well, in this case, it's very similar. He spent the money. Now, 30 days later, the Kedushin is kicking in, and all there is a debt. And you can't be Mekadosh a woman with a debt.
Is that
No, it's not Lamavreya. I'm a Yakshav. He said, I'm making the Kedushin in 30 days.
I was asking, at what point in time is the money transferred to her? I might have said, since the money is for Kedushin, it's transferred at the time.
That's what the Mishnah is telling me, not that way. That's exactly what Robin Shmuel is saying. Robin Shmuel is saying that the minute he handed her the money, it's her money. And unlike a loan, since he did this for a Kedushin, the act of Kedushin works. Even though the money won't be there at the end.
Yeah, no, that's perfectly understandable. But I'm saying that the tension is in at what time does this take effect? And Robin Shmuel is very clear that it takes effect at the moment of transfer, not at the moment of Kedushin.
One minute. The marriage takes effect at the moment of Kedushin.
The transfer
of money is now, correct.
Yeah.
But it's not alone. That's the key word here.
Agreed. No, I have
okay.
no problem.
Fine. Okay. That's all.
Tomorrow open, didn't quote the Mishnah.
By the way, I want you to mark the record that the doctor stood up for your question. Yes. That was just said as a joke. Yes.
The Gemara didn't quote the Mishnah's words precisely. It says, Imre Ishi Skachini, but the Mishnah says, Hareyat Mikudeshuslik.
Same thing. I don't know why.
Because Hareyat sounds like he's doing
It's no different than halacha. Again, let's not zero it. It's not. Not every difference makes a difference.
Okay.
Thank you. By the time the 30 days.
No, it's exactly what Rav Shmuel said. It doesn't need anything. That's what they're saying. Obviously, it's achlu hamos. The money is consumed. Gone. What if she wants to say, I want to change my mind? You gave me conditions to kick in after 30 days. I accepted it. Right? And she did not speak out any condition. Can she change her mind or not? Zakti Gemara, Rabbi Yechon Namechizeres. Rabbi Yechon says, yes. Asi Dibur Mavato Dibur. All it was a verb. Now, I'm not asking now whether she's a Russia or not a Russia, whether she's going to get Mafti Yayna or she's not going to get Mafti Yayna. In our shows, we don't give the woman Mafti Yayna anyway. So I'm not asking that. I'm asking legally, is she married or not married? That's the Gemara. That Gemara is not getting into morals and ethics now. The Gemara wants to know halacha. She came to him 10 days later and she said, I'm out. I'm not Mekudesh. I'm not interested in your Kedushin. Can she void the Kedushin? Now, all she did was a verbal commitment to be married after 30 days, right? But she also accepted the money. Can she void the acceptance that she did verbally or not? So it's a machoikis, Reb Yechon, and Rish Lakish. B'yechon amr chizeres, asi dibur mevatel dibur. Rish Lakish amr eina chizeres, lay asi dibur mevatel dibur. Now, he can change his mind because that was the whole reason he said after 30 days. That was implicit in his saying. She accepted it without saying anything. I also... I didn't even finish my sentence. She did not speak anything out. She verbally committed herself to the Kedushin. Can she change her mind or not is the question, and I think we should give the Gemara a chance to explain itself before we jump on this.
One quick question.
Yes.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but in this case, I mean, that statement that this is the reason why he said that is not in the slightest bit clear. He could have been in Illyria and sent a message to someone.
Again, think about this.
That
is
he
a,
couldn't get there for 10 days.
My answer to you is that the Rishonim explained that that's an implicit in his statement. I can't argue it. Again, that's what they say. What am I supposed to do?
I mean, that's too easy to come up with counterexamples. I don't know.
Okay, Rashi. No Rashi. Is it Rashi? Yeah, because Rabba. B'teich lamet amri yev shebehem. So b'yechen amar chizeres asedib and b'vato dibur. R'shlokh v'sham eidah chizeres lay asedib and b'vato dibur. One cannot void words by other words. Now, that's going to get us into a sugya. Is that true or not true? Eitz right. B'yechen r'shlokhish. Bittel, a guy appointed an agent to take truma. And then he voided the agent. He said, you're no longer my agent. He verbally committed himself to an appointment of an agent, and now he's verbally voiding that appointment. It's a word against a word. It's removing something he committed to himself verbally. If he did it before the guy took truma, the agent is no longer an agent. Why doesn't that prove that you can void words with words? You committed yourself to an agent, and now you're undoing that commitment verbally. She committed herself to Kedushin, and she's undoing that act of that words of commitment verbally. What's the difference? And for the Gemara, Shaini Nesinis Masli Anisha Dichi Maisa Dami, but Asi Dibur Mavato Maisa. Rish Lakish says you're 100% right. Words can void words. There's more than words here. She accepted money. Accepting money is an action, not a big action, because she didn't do anything except receive, but on the other hand, it's more than a regular verbal commitment. Therefore, she cannot void it with words because she didn't act, and her words cannot void an act. Rashi. Dr. Rashi. Bittu actually turn bittu. Aimer l'shluchay tzeyu trayim. Go do truma. B'chazri b'tle miyay shluchay. Ay b'fanav or shloy b'fanav. Whether he told it to him b'fanav or shloy b'fanav. D'chimaisa damu. V'ava b'shloy cholu miyad. Havimaisa miyu. It's still a maisa. Lochu agar shloyshim. Dibur. So why are we referring to it as a Dibur? Rav Shlakish calls it, Rav Yechonin calls it a Dibur. And even Rav Shlakish called it a Dibur. He said, Vayasi Dibur, Mavato Dibur. The reason they referred to it as a Dibur is from the Lav Maisa Mamishu. It's not really an act. Receiving is really not the same act as giving. You're receiving your passive. Passive act, if that makes sense. Usually act means activity. It's passive. Passive is a lesser maisa than active. Therefore, they refer to it as dibor, and Rav Shlakish says, lo yaseh dibor mevatel dibor, he means in this case, when the dibor was accompanied with a passive act. Yes.
The matter if she spent it, is that if it was
spent? No. No.
I don't see why, if he has the option, it's built in. Why doesn't it apply to her?
Because he...
Especially, she didn't spend it. She's still sitting there. I didn't do anything. I can hear an argument.
Yeah, she can make an option, yes.
She didn't hear.
She did not say anything.
Well, your friend said, anyway, she can.
Right. Okay. Yes, doctor.
Number one, although you can definitely use the term passive action, there's no problem at all with that. One might consider the term passive state. But more importantly, major part is being left out. There are two actions in any transaction. One person is giving and one person is receiving. They're both actions. And so this is not a case of words being mevatel one action. This is a case of words being mevatel two actions.
Again, let me try to explain this. When we're looking from the woman's side of things, what she's doing to his action is immaterial. She's not being mevatel anything he did. She's mevatel her acquiescence. You need two parties to agree to something. And can one back out of their own agreement has nothing to do with the strength of the other one's action. It has to do with what they did.
Can you be Mekadosh a woman by doing nothing?
No.
Then obviously the man did something.
Correct.
So therefore, what you're saying is incorrect.
Again, let me try to explain it one more time. If you do an action which I acquiesce to, that doesn't make me voiding it being mevato a maisa, because I'm only voiding my acquiescence. If a man gives a woman kedushin and she says no, that doesn't make it an action that she's voiding. She has a right to make a decision on her own, and she can deal with herself without having to take into account whether her husband or man who's involved here likes what she does or doesn't like what she does. Our only concentrating is how strong was her acquiescence as far as her being able to change her mind on her agreement. Let me try to explain. If a man would come to a woman and say, I'm being Mekadosh you, and she says, I'm only accepting it on condition that I can change my mind the next 10 days. She would have a right to change her mind within the next 10 days, even though she's voiding his action, because she has no reason to commit her dealing is with her own acquiescence. His action is separate from her own acquiescence. You need two things in Kedushin, him to give it and her to receive it. If her receiving it is an action, then she's voiding an action. If you view passive as less of an action, like Rabbi Yechonin does, then she's only voiding acquiescence, and we don't view the receiving as an action enough to not be voided by words. That's the argument.
Two questions. Number one, at one point, which the first example is not good enough. If someone walks up, if I just pick a lady on the street, walk up to her and say, she has never accepted, has never left my domain, and it has never gone into her domain, so there has been no exchange. One's chutzri, that does not accept something, which the other one is that I have the right to change my mind. Is she able to spend that money?
Why not? She'll owe him the money if she spends it.
That strengthens, you know, the understanding.
I'm honest out of here, yes.
I haven't done it for you.
Yes, yeah.
If he says, I'm going to talk to the Sultan on your behalf,
yes.
Is that a passive action? Or is that an action?
No, that's giving her pleasure. Anytime he gives her pleasure, we view that as an action.
Okay. And the second thing is a little bit off.
Oh, by the way, he can change his mind, not talk to the Sultan, and then he's not in the possessions.
Okay, and the other question is, when a man gives a woman gets off, she has to have her hands like this.
Well, get, it has nothing to do with get.
But is that a
get,
because of passive action on behalf of
God? No, she has to receive a get, that's all. We all know, the reason we do all kinds of chumras is to make sure it's in her rishus, and he's not holding on to it, all kinds of different things. It has nothing to do with this. We're talking about, in Halacha de Gemara, he did not say, I have to hold her hands like this.
But she can't take it.
That's tligitech, it's a separate halacha. It has nothing to do with kedusha.
Okay, that's... And the final thing is, if he sent her his money on the table here, Ariadne Shudeshes to take that money.
Yes.
Is that an action?
You want to know if there's a sort of Kli Kedushek? Not that I know of.
What did I want to know?
Whether it is a sort if she takes the money instead of him handing it to her.
That's what I'm wondering.
Yeah, there's no problem with that, I don't think. 99.99% sure. He gave her money.
Is it a
Maisa? No, it doesn't say Benassan.
Is she doing a Maisa?
Of receiving the money. I don't care who actually picks it up. She's a recipient. She's passive.
The Maisa that he's doing is he's giving her the money? Or
the Maisa is that he's being Mekadisher. He's acquiring. That's the Maisa.
That's
Maisa. Dr. Kamar Veit. Eisrei, Rabbi Yechen asked Ms. Lukas a different question. Kashleah Gatli Ishtai. Somebody sends a get to his wife, the Gia B'Shliach, and he met B'Shliach, or she shalach achar B'Shliach, or he sent another agent. The Yomer lo get to Nesati lach batohu. The get I gave you is no longer usable. How is that batoh? The Shliach cannot go and give the get. When a sin is get, the Shliach, the sin is mas narisha dami. At this point, the Gemara views, giving the get to the Shliach is as much of an act as giving the money to the woman. And the Mishnah says you can void that agency even though there was an action that took place. You handed the Shliach a get, and you're voiding that agency. Whereas the same as here, you handed the woman money, and now she's voiding that acceptance. What's the difference? So the Gemara, Hasam Kol Kamad Le'mata Gita Li'ada Dibur V'Diburhu. Asidibur Mavato Dibur. The difference is very simple. There, nothing happened. He's an extension. It's like taking it from one hand and handing it to the other hand. That's not an action that we deal with. It's his giving her a get. The get has not reached her yet. So it's still in his domain. What difference does it make if it's in his right hand or left hand or shliach's hand? Whereas here, he handed her the money. It transferred from him to her. That is considered a maisa, according to Rish Lakish. A passive action, but not no action. Rashi. Dr. Ashi, Begia B'Shliach, Ravusa Ashmina, it's a Chiddush. Abba B'Shliach, Tzachar L'Shem Kach, he didn't even chase the Shliach. El Tzipagaba, he met him. V'yamar L'Hari Bato, V'lamina L'Tzura Ba'alma K'machav, this is the Gemara in the fourth Perek Gittin. We don't say stop making life miserable for her. Welcome to Fresh and Perek Shliach, that's the way the Gemara explains it in the fourth Perek Gittin. Kokamad L'Mata Gita L'Yad Isha, L'Amidihu, it's nothing. Okay. Now we're going to ask the next. Now we're going to turn the tables, and Rish Lakish is going to ask Akasha on Rabbi Yochanan. Eisrei Rish Lakish to Rabbi Yochanan. So Rish Lakish asked a question to Rabbi Yochanan. Now, to understand the next question, we have to give a short introduction. There are certain items, namely, we're going to work with leather, that you can decide what you want to use this leather for. Some people make shoes. And some people make a leather tablecloth. Now, a leather tablecloth needs a lot less action than to make shoes. Once the leather is processed and it's cut to size, it's a tablecloth. No fancy thing is necessary to make a tablecloth. If you want to make shoes, you got a lot of work ahead of you. So the decision of the owner is going to decide at what point does this leather become a keli. A keli is mekabel tuma. A non-keli is not mekabel tuma. So you have a piece of leather that's a keli, it's mekabel tuma. Piece of leather that's not a keli, it's not mekabel tuma. So the halacha is, once the person decided this is what I'm using the leather for, and it's at that stage, it's now susceptible to be mekabel tuma.
It
is a keli. He decided to use it for that. It is a physical keli. It's a tablecloth. It wouldn't be mekabel tuma till it's shoes. Once it's at the point that it can be used for what he wants to use it for, it becomes a keli. If he plans to make shoes, now it's a tablecloth. That's not what he wants to do. It's not a keli. He decided he wants to make shoes. The fact that now he could use it as a tablecloth, he doesn't want to use it as a tablecloth. If he wants to use it as a tablecloth, and it's ready to be used as a tablecloth, it becomes susceptible to tuma. If he wants to make shoes and it's ready to be used as a tablecloth, it's not susceptible to tuma. Not a keli. That's not what he wants to do with the item.
He wants to make shoes out of it. And he's making shoes, and he didn't put the laces in yet. Is it clean yet?
That's a good question. To be
said. I didn't hear Rabbi. Oh. But what did Rabbi say? Here he said.
I said it's a good question. And the Mishnayos deal with these things. At what point is something finished?
That's
a shiloh. What point is it finished? I don't know what that log is with shoelaces.
I thought by the case of, he's starting to make his shoes. It's all he does, he's a, what's it called, a shoemaker?
Yeah, go ahead.
Shoemaker. And so you mean to me right in the beginning, it's not a clean? He can't make it a clean right now?
Again,
why can't he be the one to shop the chalos on what it is?
I love that you use your words. It makes me feel good. Now let's go back. Again, let's try to understand this without getting... A guy owns a raw piece of leather, and now he's going to make things with it. At what point is the item susceptible for tuma? Who decides whether this is going to be a tablecloth or shoes? So if he decides he wants shoes, the fact that he could use it as a tablecloth now does not make it susceptible to tuma, because he doesn't want to use it as a tablecloth. That's the halacha. The halacha is that anybody that owns the thing has a decision-making power what he wants to do with it. If he wants to make a keli out of a different keli, he never wanted to make the first keli. He didn't want a tablecloth. It was a process. In order to make shoes, you have to process the leather. It becomes a tablecloth before you make shoes. But then you're not interested at that point. You're not finished. Ask, are you finished? No, I haven't even started. I have to make shoes. Whereas, if he wanted to make a tablecloth, so now it's a tablecloth. He's finished. He decides at what point this will turn into a keli. By what he wants. Now, what happened is, he changed his mind. He decided he was going to use it as a tablecloth. And then he said to himself, nah, I'm making shoes. At the moment he decided he was going to use it as a tablecloth, it became susceptible to tuma. Maybe it did become tummy, maybe it didn't become tummy, it makes no difference. The bottom line is it was a keli. It was susceptible to tuma. A day later, and I made up the day later, it could be 10 minutes later, I don't care. He decided, nah, I'm making shoes out of it. Is it a keli or not a keli? 10 minutes ago, it was a keli. Is it a keli or not a keli? Zok de Mishnah, kol ha-kelim yardim l'day tumasim ha-machshava. All kelim are susceptible to tuma by a thought when he decides he's finished. But if he wants to make it not a keli, it's not enough to say, I don't want it as a tablecloth. He has to go cut. He has to do something to change the tablecloth into a non-keli. Because one machshava cannot change the other machshava. That's what this Mishnah is saying. One machshava cannot change the other machshava. And the Mishnah explains itself. Maisa, Maitzi Midei Maisa Miyad Machshava. An action can take away another action, right? And will take away a decision. Machshava, Eimetzi Eloi Midei Maisa, Eloi Midei Machshava. your change in your mind has no impact. Even though it was an original machshava that made it a keli, you can't change your mind. So frek, Rav Shlakish, that means a maisa can't be mevav to a maisa. That means, I'm sorry, a machshava can't be mevav to a machshava. So why should dibur be able to be mevav to dibur? If you're telling me that a machshava can't be mevav to a machshava, so why should dibur be able to be mevav to dibur? I can understand if you did an action to finish the keli, and now you want to change your mind. Why can't it change the machshava? Answer is, not everything can be changed, even though it sounds similar. Now,
what is the word mafka?
Take away. Undo. That's the kasha. That's the kasha. Dr. Rashi, yardly they tum of machshava can go make kalim. Go make kalim are unfinished kalim, a gailim. You know, when people say he's a gailim, gailim means it's unfinished. Not gailim doesn't mean he's stupid. He's a gailim. A gailim means he's unfinished. Not finished. The chacham is refined. Raw. He's finished. Raw, right? They say the Marau, either he did or he didn't, made a gailim. Questionable in history. Why was he called a gailim? Because he couldn't talk. So he was an unfinished product. So therefore he was called a gailim. That's what a gailim means. A gailim means...
We're all unfinished. To be honest. No,
why are you talking for me? Why are you talking for me? Why aren't you talking about yourself? Why are you including me?
Other people are nodding their heads, meaning we're all trying to...
Anybody nodding? I didn't see anybody nodding their heads, except for no.
No, we're like this. I didn't see which way they're going. The point I'm stressing very nicely is, I'm trying to grow all the time in Ruchnias. So I'm unfinished product.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Is that a nice idea? Yeah,
no. It's a very bad idea.
Also, no, I feel
the function, Lifnei Rabo, stuff like that. The function of the function here is best understood as the process of making choices and growing. The ability to make choices and grow is being finished. That we have achieved our topic. I don't know.
I think we're off the subject. Nobody should excuse me, Rabbi Cohen, for bringing us off the subject. We're not talking now about Moshe Seder, we do that in Peleayet. Now we're learning what a Keli is. So, Kol Gailim HaKelim, Dhamma Ba Kol Shayecht, and Kol Shayecht, Lotshuv, to rub it, the Shabbat, what is the Shabbat, Rabbi Schutz?
Polish?
What? Design it, the Garer, to scratch it, to smooth it out. Ramar Hassan Dakati Khsar Malokahu Tyrim. It's still missing work in a star. And Khishavalash Shaloy Lashov Shaloy Lashabit. But if you're finished and you're not planning to do any more, have Yasa Makshavazul Degmar Malokami Kanalaba. It means the Kaili is finished. Vain Ailamatamasam, I want to finish the Rashi first, then Ailamatamasam, we should kablu alabashina maisa. She yasama maisa la kalkula. She yishvareim or yanakvaim. Break it, make a hole in it. Now, this is even if it became tumay, you undo the tumah by doing a maisa. The chayin actually kabul tumah, and even if it didn't become tumay, an oilam mitaris kabolus tumah doesn't go away from the susceptibility to tumah. She yardu b'machshav azu that happened through this thought of finishing. Ela b'shina maisa atziyaslu loshuv the shabbat ulegarer. You gotta start working. Until you start working, it's still a keli. Maisa maisa miday maisa. Hiskul lashuv bitul mehem tayres gemar malacha l'shem kli. He was mevatu. He nullified the fact that it became a kli. Bein shiar gladei maisa. Whether he had done it through an action shechlika, I don't know what action you do to show you're finished. Like you smooth it out, give it like a pat on the back. You're finished. The Gila died to shame of Husar Maitikim. What did he say? What? Bezi Yard Lade Machshava. המחשבה אין המציאה. חישב עליהם גרשו לשבת, אחר שחישב עליהם שלוי גרשו שלוי לשבת. He changed his mind and now he wants to do more. אין יעצה מדי המחשבה מהשינה. So here we see that a machshava can't be mevat a machshava. So Rabbi Yechinen, why are you so sure that a dibur can be mevat a dibur? That's what Rosh Lakish is asking. Yes, doctor.
An observation which has bothered me for a long time, because this example is used frequently, that if you look at the leather of a tablecloth, which is very pliable, very soft, and the leather of tefillin, or the leather of the shoes, you know, of the time, those are very stiff and very hard.
Honestly, the example of tablecloth and shoes is my example.
The leather has been used as tablecloth versus finished object.
Right, but the finished object can be soft. It doesn't have to be stiff.
It can be soft, but oftentimes, every morning when you put on tefillin.
So you're asking a practical question.
It seems at a much earlier state, you declare you have dedicated the pathway.
I don't know of an answer to your question.
Is leather specified by the Torah as comes to tumah? Tell me, as if it's an item that has space cable, but it doesn't have...
Leather does not clear.
I think
needs a base cable. So why is a tablecloth for kabel tumah? Is it that the child of Drabono, the Raisa? Might be Drabono. That's the Gemara Vaitra. And for the Gemara, Shaini Machshava the Tumah the Chimaisa Dami. The Torah gave extra special power to the Machshava of Tumah. The Torah considered it an action. You're right. In logic, it should not be an action. All it is a thought. But we see in the Pasuk that the Torah decided to teach and treat a Machshava of Tumah as if it's an action. Where do we see that? Let me speak this out outside, because it's a little bit off the subject, but it'll bring back. There's a halacha that says that in order for food to be makabel tumah, it has to become wet after it's detached from the ground. Apples are not makabel tumah unless they once got wet after they were harvested, taken off the tree. Also, that has to be done. Halacha is that the owner was happy it got wet. If he was not happy that it got wet, it doesn't make it susceptible to tumah. And that is this learned out from a pasuk, that his state of mind affects whether this makes it susceptible or doesn't make it susceptible. The same thing happened. The apple got wet. If he's happy with it, then it's considered like he made the fruit wet. If he's not happy with it, then it's not considered like he made the fruit wet. Now, all it is a machshava. His happiness or lack of happiness is a machshava. And yet the Torah says, if you're happy that it got wet, it's like you put water on it. I mean, the Torah says when it comes to susceptibility of tumah, your decision is an action. Your happiness with the water is as if you put the water there. You didn't put the water there. It rained. But you were happy that it rained on the apple. You put the rain on the apple. And that's what the pasuk says. Therefore, we see from there that when it comes to tumah tahara, your thought to do something is considered as if you did the act. And therefore, it's a ma'isa. Thinking that the keli is finished is a ma'isa.
But the rain over there, let's say you didn't know it went.
Again, are you happy or not happy?
I didn't know it got wet.
But that's a big machloekis, is whether you have to know while it's wet, or you can even find out later. If I remember correctly, it's a machloekis. Zakti Gemara, Rapapa Rami, Siv Ki Yitain, it says, you will put water on food, it's susceptible to tumah. The Karina Ki Yutan, but the way we read it is that water will be put. The writing, the spelling of the word, is you put. The reading of the word is water was put. Nothing to do with you. Okay, so how do you resolve the apparent contradiction between the writing and the spelling? Tell me, ki yutan dumbya dechiyitein. It can be put but it has to be similar that you put. What does that mean? Ma'itin the nichalei, afutin the nichalei. Just like when you put it, you obviously wanted it wet, you put it there. So yutan has to be that you're happy. Now what do you mean? But you didn't put it. It's a thought. There it is. By tumah, the Torah gives thought the benefit, the power of an action. Rashi. Zuch Rashi. Dechi maisa dami drachmona kaya maisa. Zuch siv. Ki yite. It's spelled yite v'haynu biyodayim. Even if the water fell on its own and you're happy, it's a hechsher. So the raya, the tumah is different. That's how Rabbi Yochanan answers Rish Lakish's question. So at the end of the day, this is the first lesson of the Gemara. There's a machlekes Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, whether we view the passive receiving of a woman taking the money as more than a regular dibur or just more than a regular dibur. That ends up being the machlokes of Rebbe and Rish Lakish. At this point, we're going to have a different lesson that we're going to do in Meir Shem next week about this very same thing. We're going to stop here.